It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters. We have a super special guest on here. We're going to call this a surprise guest. The cool thing about WSB Radio on a Sunday is that once in a while you'll get these special folks that'll just walk through and you can just grab them on. So we have a special mystery guest in just a second. We got to do quick weather though. Lake Trout Luke, let's hear it, buddy.
Partly cloudy skies this morning, and it will become overcast during the afternoon. High of 67 tonight. Overcast with a low of 51. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 69. At night, a low 40% chance of rain, low of 53.
That's pretty good, but let me tell you something. I think I'm going to change your name from Lake Trout Luke to Lucky Charm Luke after today. Why do we call you Lake Trout?
Because every time we fish, I catch lake trouts.
Really? Okay. Well, okay. Thank you. Thank you for your work today. By the way, that weather brought to you by Shoemate. All right. So in the studio with me, thanks, buddy. You can go back to your Lucky Charms. In the studio with me, and by the way, welcome to Money Matters, Belinda Skelton.
Thank you.
And this is the first time we've ever had you on.
Good morning. Yes.
I saw you kind of waltz by, and I was like, oh, that's Belinda. I was like, she looks so great. Get her into the studio here.
Oh.
What are you doing working on a Sunday?
Well, I'm getting ready to go on a cruise. Woohoo!
That's exciting.
That's very exciting. And I have a lot of work to do before I get on the boat.
Oh, so you're recording stuff
before
you go.
I'm recording stuff. Commercials and little things for the show because I will not be here next Saturday.
So your house is totally vacant.
My house is vacant, but I'm cutting an Ackerman security commercial, so my house is protected, so bring it on.
And you've got these four attack German shepherds
that
basically live there.
Oh, that will just eat you to pieces.
Scary.
And
scary.
The Rottweiler, and the, you know.
So, let's see. So, where do you go, by the way, on a cruise? Where is this one going?
This one's going to the Bahamas. You know, I don't really care. And I said that when I booked the cruise. I said, I want a cheap deal. I don't care where it's going. I just want to go.
It sounds like fun.
We're on spring break.
Oh, that's right.
We have an early spring break.
Okay, so who's going with you on this?
My two children.
How old are they?
They are 12 and 14.
And what kind of sports do they play?
They play lacrosse and soccer.
And
big time.
Where are they playing lacrosse?
They are playing at Surge.
That's my league.
How come I've never seen you there?
Well,
at North Atlanta.
Yeah, NAHS. Yeah. I'm there like hours and hours every day.
Well, I don't stay for practices.
That's maybe why.
Okay, but I'm there for games, unless it's during my show.
But you know, they're older, so my kids are what are called the Bantam level, which are
okay.
really second, third graders, and then the fourth, fifth graders I coach, and he must be in what?
He's a junior.
In?
Seventh grade.
So it's called junior, but he's in, yeah, that's why. Yeah. They're just older.
Okay. I don't understand lacrosse. I'll just be honest with you. You know, when they get the ball and they're down, they look like angry farmers with their sticks just fighting. I don't understand what constitutes a foul. They can hit each other here, but not here. I'm lost the whole time.
It's a pretty brutal sport. It is. It's a little bit like football, but it's not direct head-to-head contact.
Right.
But you're kind of moving all over the place. So it's not
fun
as dangerous.
To watch.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
It is. I've never heard anyone call lacrosse or liken it to angry farmers.
Well, you know when they have the ball on the ground and they're all like hitting their sticks on the ground like hoes, like, you know, they're digging potatoes?
It's like it's the rugby farmers. Version of a scrum with a stick instead.
Yeah.
It, you can break your thumb pretty easily in lacrosse. As those kids get older
and they
get to be 6'4", 240 pounds, it gets to be pretty dangerous.
My son strings his own head, and he restrings a head at least once a week.
Wow.
Must redo it. He is fabulous.
Well, we'll have him do a clinic for our kids because that's not easy to do.
It's not, and he's very good.
All right, so we were talking about Snapchat today. So Snapchat went public.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a story.
An IPO I learned from you.
Yes, and I don't know if you heard me talking about this Mountain View High School, this Catholic school in California put $15,000 in.
Wow.
To Snapchat in the very 5 years ago, worth today at the IPO price $24 million.
Are you kidding me?
Pretty amazing story, yeah. They just on a whim, one of the parents said, "Hey, I'm at this venture capital firm. My kids are using this thing called Snapchat, and it was tiny, tiny little company. Mm-hmm. This could be something one day." School put 15 grand in, wow. Worth 24 million. Just pretty amazing.
Wow.
That's what gets us excited, yeah. About investing. Now, I also talked about the graveyard of other social media companies. So their Friendster had 75 million people at one point. It's gone.
I've never even heard of Friendster.
Bebo was bought by AOL for something like... What are my notes here? $580 million. No, Bebo, $850 million back in 08. Back in 06, they sold it for $10 million.
So did they buy these companies just to put them out of business?
No. No, they're buying them because they think they're going to make them with their synergies.
Uh-huh.
One of the most annoying corporate words ever invented. They're going to make it even bigger. So yeah, they're not... Now... Remember, Facebook bought Instagram because they were scared of them.
Okay.
But Facebook bought Instagram a couple years ago for $1 billion. They have $34 billion in cash, by the way. And now it's a huge moneymaker. So Instagram on its own now is probably worth $10 billion, yeah. Maybe even more. My question, though, because you have these teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Are they addicted to Snapchat? Do you use Snapchat?
I do not use Snapchat. I couldn't do it if my life depended on it. But they do it all the time.
So it's like do they use Facebook and Twitter, or is it just Snap?
No, that's for the old fogies.
Wow.
No, it's Snapchat totally. And that's their way to communicate with their friends.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's a real, it's a real thing. Yeah. Ryan and I did not even have the app, and we downloaded it. And it actually wasn't super easy to use.
You did it just during the show.
Well, no, we did this on Friday. We were talking about Snapchat and the IPO. And we're like, let's see how hard it is to use this thing. I mean, we're not technological neophytes. I mean, we can figure things out. But it actually took us a little while to figure. It's not super easy to figure out. I'm just on the fence here about it because social media companies are either, they have momentum. The more people that use it, the more... Your friends need to use it. As soon as momentum slows down, it's this reverse negative cycle. It's like, well, nobody uses that anymore.
Right.
And then it just dies in this black hole.
On the vine.
And I'm very on the fence of whether that's going to happen to Snapchat or not. I don't, and the fact that it did, the little messages disappear in three seconds, I don't know if that's a game changer.
And I think the kids like that. They are instantaneous. They don't care that it sticks around. That doesn't bother them at all. I think that's a plus for them.
Well, no, it is. But why couldn't you do that on Instagram? Or why can't Facebook just do the exact same thing? It's not like it's difficult technology.
Because that's not the way our brains work. We're from a different generation. We need it to stick around. They don't.
They don't want it to stick around.
They are immediate...
Gratification.
In, outdone. Move on.
Gosh, we're so worried about the generation. Just like our parents are worried about us.
Right, but we
y'all
need to,
watch
we
too
need,
much TV.
But we need to be worried about this generation.
I am. I've got a bunch of them. I've got four of them, and I'm just trying to keep them even halfway on the straight and narrow. All right, so also we're talking about, how much do you watch the market? Do you ever watch the stock market? Is that of interest at all? Except
you
for this show I know that you tune into or listen
to
the podcast.
I do tune into your show.
Yeah,
I do.
Sure you do
and
all the
I,
time.
You know, I listen to all your stats and alphabet words that, you know, that I don't understand. I pay attention when it's way up. I'm like, yay! And then when it goes down, I'm like, boo. But, you know, then when I get my stocks and I look and...
But you're okay with the cycle. And are you worried about politics and what's happening with the world?
I am, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So it does...
And how it affects my portfolio. Yes.
Well, so this week, I think, is kind of this fascinating week where you have Trump and he and everyone's nervous that Trump's going to say something crazy. And then he has this session for the joint session of Congress, and he does this semi-State of the Union and does a job where he had this same message.
Looked very presidential.
Yeah, he sounded presidential. He looked presidential. Nothing new. So he didn't really give any new direction, except for there are a couple really, I would say, nuances that were new. But the next day, the stock market was up 300, 360 points at one point. So that's a big move. And it's really, it was not so much about policy. It was more about his tone and the thought that, well, hey, maybe this guy really is going to calm down, get along with everybody, or at least enough to get all of his initiatives passed beyond the executive orders. I mean, these executive orders are obviously, some of them are a very big deal. But the big potatoes, if you will, to get through: healthcare reform, tax reform, infrastructure. Those are the three things he talked about. He put a number on infrastructure, $1 trillion. It's actually not, I think that it is construed that the government's going to go spend $1 trillion and build roads and bridges. It's not quite the case. It is a partnership with public and private money that all in will end up being $1 trillion, which is a big number.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at healthcare, and he went through kind of these five tenets.
And that made me feel so much better.
It did. Okay, that's great. That's good
right,
to hear.
Because of the pre-existing... I am on the market healthcare plan, and I want to see big changes.
Because it's expensive.
It's terribly expensive, and it's terrible coverage.
It's terrible coverage. We know that it's expensive, and I've got a lot of clients that retire before 65, and they've got to buy their own private policy. And God forbid you have high blood pressure or something not totally perfect. Well, the old healthcare system, it wasn't that it was expensive. You just couldn't get coverage.
Right.
And now, if we're going to keep pre-existing, which Trump reiterated that, that's, I think that is comforting. Then the thought of, hey, let's open this thing up across state lines. God forbid there's actually competition. Maybe prices will stop going up. At least that experiment is something worth trying. That's why the market liked, he didn't give anything new about taxes, but that's why the market liked that. Liked a more presidential Trump. Maybe this guy's going to get along with everybody, and maybe we'll get some of these giant initiatives actually through and accomplished. And that gives me hope for the future. It gives me this positive this positive uncertainty that continues to help the market a little bit.
And that's what I've heard across the board on social media from so many people, that everybody felt a little, okay.
And again, that's for us, old people social media is probably Facebook, right?
Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, and you use Twitter.
I love Twitter.
Oh, you do?
I like Twitter even more than Facebook.
All right. Well, follow me at WesMoss365 if you don't already. And what is your Twitter?
WSB Belinda.
WSB Belinda. Send Belinda a tweet. Wish her well on her trip, her cruise.
Yes.
And thank you for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you.
Enjoy your vacation.
I will. See you on the field.
Okay. At Surge Lacrosse. We're going to be right back. We've got calls on hold, 404-872-0750. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Straight to the phones here. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're going to Eddie, who joins us on the line. What's going on, Eddie? How can we help?
Hey, you're talking about these social media apps, and there's one that my daughter and her teammates are using, and I'm wondering how you go about investing in it if you think it's going to explode.
Well, if it's what is the app?
It's called Musical.ly.
Okay, so here's what you can do. You can go to a place called Crunchbase, which keeps track of venture capital-backed companies. So Musical.ly, from what I can see here, it's easy to find. You can find, they've had $16.5 million worth of funding. And GGV Capital, Greylock Partners are companies that are putting money into a company like Musical.ly. I work with the folks over at Knock, which is that innovative new real estate company, and they have a new model for valuing real estate, for helping people sell their house. They'll actually buy real estate from you in 6 weeks if you don't sell it at their market price. And you've probably heard me maybe do some of the spots for Knock. But they're backed. I mean, you pull up Knock and you can see that they've got these, JF Labs, Grand Central Tech are companies that are funding these technology companies, because it costs millions of dollars to get the technology that they really need up to speed for a big user base. So the way to invest in them is through these private equity funds. It's not super easy to do, though. That's the problem. Some of these funds have a mechanism where you can also share in these or co-invest, but they have to offer a private fund. Otherwise, there's no way to invest in these once they get to be these big venture-backed companies, because it's the venture firm that wants the ownership and the investment. But that's at least the path to be on. Check it out at Crunchbase, and you can find out lots of stuff about all the things that your kids are using on their iPhone. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Social media, Snapchat IPO, Trump in Congress. Just a busy morning here on Money Matters and a lot of fun here. So if you are headed back from church or maybe going to play golf or headed to brunch or you're with the family and you're just hanging out in the kitchen drinking coffee, reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, then we'd love to hear from you here on a Sunday morning. So if you have questions about maybe it's a pension rollover question, maybe it's about an individual company, maybe it's about an individual ETF, or a mutual fund, and you're thinking about making that transition. Hey, which one do I buy? What's the advantage of this? I'm thinking about doing that, Wes. Maybe it's an annuity question, and it relates back to your life, your financial path. Then we're happy to answer those calls and questions. Phone lines open. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. It's the fun part about Money Matters. We think we're still probably one of the last few very fully objective money shows on air in the country. And I know we have a lot of folks that listen via podcast. The podcast is just Wes Moss Money Matters on the podcast app on your iPhone or Samsung. But the uniqueness of what if you're wondering something, you and your wife are talking, you and your spouse, you and your husband are talking about something. You're like, hey, honey, what should we do? Should we pay off the mortgage? Should we buy a rental property? Should we just invest this money in the market? Hey, aren't stocks high? Aren't bonds high? Isn't real estate high? What do we do? Then we're here to try to walk you through that or objectively make sure that you're making the right decision and just not messing something up big time. So we're happy to take your call and give you our at least opinion. Sometimes it's just a tiebreaker sometimes. And sometimes it's kind of, hey, what's our tiebreaker as a couple? We need to figure this thing out. So again, the number in the studio, Ryan Ely answers your call and patches it through. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we'll go to the phones in just a minute here. But again, as we wrap up, what again has been a really important it's been a fascinating year, and the market has continued to move tremendously. I mean, here we are in just starting in March, and we've got for the week Dow up about 0.9%. The S&P 500 is up almost 0.75%, and we're sitting at that Dow 21,000 level, and we've moved up 6% already for the year. S&P 500 up 6.5% for the year. So there's a lot happening here. The Dow was up 300 points on Wednesday. That's the largest one-day point gain since before last Thanksgiving, and which was right before the election, by the way. And a lot of this has to do with the tone of what we heard our president. We hear about this developing story that has to do with Russia. And we've got this developing story. Was there a wiretap? Was there some sort of, what's the Trump campaign have to be worried about moving forward? Because there's still this war between Democrats and Republicans. And yes, it is unsettling, and this will continue. And I don't see an end in sight to it, because we still have this political infighting that is very, very frustrating. And at some point, I think the risk to this market here, which I think makes sense, is that we don't get some of these policies pushed through. The reason the market was up 300 points on Wednesday after the Tuesday night session with Trump and joint session of Congress is that we are looking at getting some of these major initiatives pushed through Congress, not just executive orders. Things like healthcare, infrastructure, taxes, those are the big three that if that gets through, you're going to see extra economic activity. And that is important. And that is exactly what this market wants to see. We get infrastructure spending, good for GDP. We get a healthcare system that has some sort of moderation in price and competition across state lines, like Trump talked about. If that works, again, great for the economy. When it was as far as taxes, nothing new. He talked nothing really new about taxes, but the reiteration, the tax reforms coming, is still a very big deal. Trump has a plan for both corporate and individual tax reform. His cabinet, his Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, I guess that's how we pronounce that. He's been doing the rounds on TV and talking about the impact of what will happen and how they're going to get tax reform done. You get this economy from the 1.9%. sub 2% GDP growth up to the 3% range, like the administration is trying to do. Hey, a full extra percentage point on an $18 trillion economy, that's a massive number. We'll see how this plays out. Again, let's go to the phones here. Ryan, where are we headed? We're headed to Joe, who joins us from Atlanta on the line. Joe, welcome to Money Matters, my friend. What's going on? How can we help?
Hey, Wes, thanks for taking my call. So I was telling your screener I have to make a big decision in probably about a month or so, which is whether to take the survivor benefit plan. I'm active duty, and my wife does not work and will not work for foreseeable future. But we're in a good spot financially. We're completely debt-free, including the house. We have pretty close to $1 million in the bank. I am 53, she's 54. I will retire in about 5 months, and I need to decide whether to take all of it, some of it, or none of it.
Okay, so you're going to have a military pension. You'll start taking that pension even though you might still work? Are you thinking maybe you continue to work a little bit or work part-time, or do you think you guys will, in a sense, really be fully retired at that point at a super young age?
Yeah, so you're right. I'm too young to do nothing. However, that wouldn't be the driver. You know, like I'll do something. But
your wife is saying, Joe, you're way too young. Get out of the home. Get out of the house. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But you know, the other part, Wes, is you know we've always lived below our means. I mean, I like to travel, not so much her. And I just don't. I'm really leaning towards not taking it because, I mean, if I die tomorrow, I just don't think she could spend it if she tried. She'd probably just give it away.
But so the question here, Joe, is about: do you take the survivor benefit, or do you take a high, which is lower than if you take the single life payment? Is that the crux of the question here?
Well, I think the question is that. I might say too that our financial advisor is leaning heavily, like, no, you really need to take all of it, because I mean, it's just that good of a plan. And I just, like I said, I mean, and what really is tipping me in the point of not taking it is that, you know, when she does reach the age, she'll get my Social Security as well. So she'll have, you know, all of our investments. She'll have no payments other than, you know, electric and water and utilities and food.
But Joe, help me with these numbers, though, is that, okay, so you've got at 55... You're going to take on, you've got to make a decision of what? Tell me that decision you're wavered on.
Oh, right. So the way I understand it is we pay whatever the premium is. I don't have that number, but if we take the whole thing, if I die before her, she would get 55% of my pension for the rest of her life.
Got it. Or you could take, are you saying you could also just do a single life that's a higher monthly amount that just covers you, and if you die, she gets nothing?
So what the financial guy said, hey, like, I'd be happy to sell you a life insurance policy, but that would be more expensive than you taking the survivor benefit plan. The other thing that, I mean, we're both very healthy, I think. You know, if she dies before me, then I, you know, I'll be paid into that for nothing.
Got it. Okay. All right. Now that's a good. So this is the same issue that many of us or many of you listening out there have. This is one of the tough parts about a decision on a pension. Now I understand exactly what the question is here. Joe's asking, hey, and you didn't tell me the numbers, but they don't matter as much because this is the level that matters. So let's say Joe could take $5,000 a month for life if it's just his life, or only $4,000 a month if he dies, then his wife continues to get four for the rest of his life or the rest of her life. However, if Joe dies first, right? Or I'm sorry, if she dies, then you've now taken this lower amount and to some extent you've paid this life insurance and you're not really going to use it. And you're not technically paying for life insurance. You're taking a reduced benefit because it's now actuarially covering not just you, Joe, but you and your wife, right? So it's obviously got to be a lower amount because the expected time of life together as a unit is longer. And so that is always the question. You guys are the same age, Joe?
She's a year ahead of me. Yeah, pretty much.
And usually it's a good bet that women live a little bit longer than guys, right? Because they just have longer life expectancies. So it's usually a good bet to get the survivor benefit. But if it's a giant, if it's a really big hit to the number, then you start questioning. You say, well, is it really worth an extra $500 a month for the rest of our lives in order to cover something that might never happen? And I think the answer goes back to all the other finances that you have. So you've already got this $1 million. That in itself is, I look at that as a pension. That should produce $40,000 to $50,000 a year for you guys as a family on average over time. So that's one income stream. You guys both have Social Security, because even if she hasn't worked, she'll get half of your Social Security, Joe.
Right.
Now, and let's say you're going to continue to work part-time for a while. You don't really need this money right now. But, again, it's so hard. Usually, and it sounds like you've talked to this with another advisor, you could always make up the difference here by buying a policy. So let's say you take your lifetime benefit and there's no survivor benefit. So then you just buy insurance to cover yourself, right? Usually it is economically, it's better just to take the pension and not go out and buy extra insurance. Usually it's better just to take the spousal benefit. I lean towards, and again, there's a lot of analysis on this, but I usually lean towards the spousal taking a little bit less. Now, to your point, the worst case scenario, so if something happens to your wife, you've paid into this thing and you're not going to technically get the benefit for that. You're right. But that's the nature of insurance. We end up hoping we never have to use it, right? But it does at least protect us as a family. So I think that this comes back to the comfort level that you and your spouse have as a family. It sounds like you're going to have plenty of other income sources. You have plenty of money. This would kind of be your second or third safety net, Joe, it sounds like, right, to be. And I don't see that that's necessarily a bad thing. But again, your advisor is probably very right on the money here. Is it tough to make that up out in the private market? And there's something so unique and so powerful about having a pension that also covers both of you guys. And as long as it's not overly expensive, I usually lean towards doing the spousal benefit because it really protects the family. And that to me makes so much sense. And thank you so much for your call and listening to Money Matters. All right, we got to go to quick news, weather, traffic. We have a trivia prize pack coming up in right after break. So stay with us right here. You're listening to Money Matters with me, Wes Moss. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Contact button upper right hand corner. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
All right, we are back live here. Money Matters. Trivia prize pack time. Ryan Ely, what's going on, man?
The WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack is a four-pack of tickets to the Game of Thrones live concert experience on March 14th at Phillips Arena, produced by Live Nation, and a family four-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at the Infinite Energy Arena. This week's trivia question: the hottest movie I think out right now has got to be Logan, which is Hugh Jackman's ninth take on the Wolverine character. It's pretty impressive franchise for him. Another great franchise movie where actors played multiple movies was James Bond. Can you tell me which actor played the most official James Bond roles, meaning they were produced by Eon Productions?
404-741-0750. I read an article this morning about the movie industry in Atlanta. They're shooting a $1 billion movie. A $1 billion budget movie here. I believe it's the next Avengers.
Yep.
Infinity
Wars.
So you've heard about this.
Yeah, they're down at Pinewood.
It's pretty amazing.
Pretty unbelievable. There's a $1 billion movie being shown here. A billion was the budget?
Yeah, it's a $1 billion budget.
Well, you got to pay, what, $100 million to Robert Downey Jr., $100 million to Thor. Who's that?
I don't know. Thor, what his name was, but he's had such a difficult time getting roles, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's so difficult
for me. And it's done nothing for his career.
Luke Moss, I think what you need to do instead of doing the weather as you grow up, I think you should become an actor. Think about the money involved in that. All right, 404-741-0750 for the prize line. If you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week, it's easy to do so. WesMoss.com, WesMoss.com. Contact button, upper right-hand corner. We're happy to talk through a lot of these same type of questions that you have. They're financial. We'll have a conversation with you. Happy to help. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday. Continue to stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.